We'll begin over here with Brother Dennis Smith.
In Acts, the 9th chapter, after Ananias had found Saul, verse 17 says, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight, and he arose and was baptized." And it goes on and tells about him receiving strength. He spent some days in Damascus, and immediately he began preaching in the synagogues Christ, the Son of God. All were amazed at that, because there had been a big change in him, and the change was the Spirit of God was now in him. Do you not remember that?
I agree. I don't think Ananias gave it to him directly with the laying on of hands. But yes.
No, he said, "I'm come to tell you that."
Right.
"Lord Jesus selected you."
Right.
And it was from God.
Mm-hmm.
His receiving the Spirit was from God. It didn't
exactly
come from man. Later, when he was writing to the Ephesian Christians, he said, "It's my prayer. This is my goal working with you, that Christ, you may develop, be strengthened, and Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love," and so on and so forth. And then later he refers to them being filled with the Spirit. Do you understand that Christ dwelling in them by faith is the same as the Holy Spirit filling them?
It's not my talk. No. I'm going to say they're I believe they're synonyms. Yes.
Yeah, because he said that's how God dwells in us as well. God, the Spirit, and Christ dwells in us.
And we in God in Christ.
And the simple answer to it all, to wrap it up about how this all happens, the same apostle, when he talked to the Romans, he said, "Faith comes by hearing the Word of God." And so it's not hard. I think people are just running around the bush whenever they try to come up with all ways and means that the Holy Spirit can benefit us today. He plainly tells us that.
As I said in my commentary on Ephesians, there's no question the Bible teaches indwelling. It's how. The Bible teaches indwelling. It may be representative, it may be personal, but the whole point is, no matter which way you do it, the Bible teaches indwelling. But I want to just quote Galatians 1:1, right quick, just in the New American Standard Version. I just want to clarify explicitly why that I said that he didn't get it through Ananias. Listen to what Paul claims in Galatians 1:1. "Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." The Apostle Paul knew about what Ananias was saying, about what Ananias had been told. And Ananias brought that to him. But he said, "Listen, brethren, I want you to know I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ." And basically, if you may get the inference, Ananias had nothing to do with it.
In no way did Ananias imply that he was making.
Right. No, he didn't. But he says, "It's not sent from men nor through the agency of men."
That's right.
Appreciate your presentation, brother. You had some very interesting and convincing things that you suggested there. And there's two ideas I'd like to hear your consideration of. Cornelius being baptized in the Holy Spirit before he was baptized in water, and thus before we would acknowledge that he was saved, has been a controversial issue. And most of the criticism comes from Jesus' statement in John 14 and 17. Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And so critics say, if the world can't receive the Holy Spirit, then he couldn't have been a lost man when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you something Ron Corder told me at the study in Oklahoma City earlier, and want to see what you have to think about it. Ron suggested that the word received there means take away. The context is Jesus talking about how he's going to be leaving the apostles. Okay. And of course, he'll be crucified, then he'll ascend into heaven. He says it's the same word as in Acts 1 when it says that he was received into heaven out of their sight. And what Jesus is saying is that I'm going to send you the Spirit who the world cannot take away from you. They can't crucify the Spirit because they can't see him. I thought that was an interesting interpretation, and of course that would dismantle using this passage to prove that Cornelius and his family were saved when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what you've shown, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a kingdom sign, not an evidence of salvation, would correspond to that. What do you think about that idea?
I think that's pretty valid. That's interesting. I'd have to know a little bit more about it. I'd like him to explain that probably to me a little bit better. But I think that's exactly right. If I could throw another idea on top of that, one person said that the miraculous signs, like speaking in tongues, doing different things, that this was somehow a sign of salvation or whatever. Well, the Bible explicitly teaches in certain places that not everybody's going to speak in tongues, and everything. The Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. And the apostles had, and in looking at the sending out of the 70, they had many powers before they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he was saying that to explain that the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't evidenced by miraculous gifts, if you will, because they had a lot of those gifts. I mean, yes, it was, but what I'm trying to say is that was not the emphasis. It was the rushing mighty wind. It was the tongues as of fire. It was the things that came from heaven that was the fulfillment, that they wanted them to see and hear, that were the evidence that the kingdom had come.
That's interesting. There was the normal gift of tongues that was in the church through the laying on of apostolic hands, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit was bigger than tongues.
Exactly. In other words, it had those unique qualities, yeah.
Very interesting. I have another question, and this one is from John chapter 20. You had suggested here the idea in your chart that the apostles, aside from Paul, received their apostolic credentials simultaneously to having the baptism of the Holy Spirit occur on them, although they were distinct events.
Right.
I recently heard the suggestion, though, that the apostles received their credential in John 20, verses 21 and 23. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you," which we have to do with the word apostle. Mm-hmm. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now this would mean that the 12, or 11, who's Matthias would have been chosen here, but the 11 received the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost. That was an interesting idea. I wonder what you would say about that.
Well, that's an interesting idea. I had not heard that until you mentioned that before services, so I didn't get a chance to check it out. But that's a very interesting passage. I will have to look at that some more. In connection to the kingdom, though, Jesus was discussing that with them in Acts, the first chapter, it seems to be the emphasis of you shall receive power when this happens, that he really is answering their question. And if you take that back and wrap up the nature of the establishment of the kingdom, this kingdom being signed, I think the emphasis is on the fact that that was going to be addition to it. But your point about Jesus specifically identifying them as his ambassadors upon this occasion is a valid point. That's interesting. I'll have to look at that.
Back over to Dennis Smith and then Jerry Dickinson.
Again, there in Acts chapter 9, after he remained in Damascus, rested up, and then went out, he immediately began preaching that Jesus was the Son of God. Did he do that with or without credentials?
Well, he said his message was from God.
He had received his credentials.
And Ananias told him that he was going to be a special messenger. So.
So he had to have received his credentials between the time that he was baptized, stayed there in Damascus, and then went out. Or else he was out there preaching unordained.
Don DeWelt, who I hate to quote as an authority on anything, he put out 4 volumes on the Holy Spirit, and he takes the position that that's whenever he was given. He said, we assume this. He said he can't prove it, but he assumes it happened at that same time as well. He said it makes most sense.
Yes, I agree.
Jerry Dickinson.
In volume 3, that is, by the way, is where he's discussing that.
Well, I'm going to throw another passage in about
the
Holy Spirit. How much Holy Spirit can you have? And you know, it seems like we kind of dismiss the idea of a measure. You said limitation. I think those terms perhaps are synonymous. But listen now, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was filled, or at least Ananias said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, I assume, when they received that baptism. Then they received the credentials. In Acts chapter 4, you remember the apostles, Peter and John had been arrested and put in prison. They were released. They came back to their comrades and they began to pray. And verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
But now they're filled with the Holy Spirit again.
Right.
Were they filled with the Word of God? Were they filled with Jesus? What were they filled with?
Confidence. Boldness, it says, the end of verse 51. No, but you're
filled with the Holy Spirit.
Well, yes, but it blessed them with confidence. It doesn't talk about speaking. There's 2 reasons why I don't think this is another. In other words, why didn't Paul go back? Why didn't Luke and Peter go back to Acts 4 instead of Acts 2 whenever he was saying this is what happened to Cornelius?
Well, I'm not saying this is a baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
I believe I agree with what you're saying, that they were baptized. That was a fulfillment promise.
Yeah.
And then Cornelius and his house were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit here. I don't believe this was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. No.
Right.
But they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And there are other passages where they were.
But evidently, the blessing that they got, yes, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness.
Yes, so. That was the Holy Spirit, or the filling of the Spirit, in that
exactly.
Boldness on that occasion.
Right.
I just want to throw that in.
Well, I knew Acts 4 was coming up, but I didn't know when.
Any other questions?
I have one of all of you guys who are studying here. What is the significance of Acts 4? I just want to ask you that. I really kind of quandered about that whenever I was studying. Obviously it's included in the text for a reason and it's an event, but if it's not a fulfillment of prophecy and it doesn't give them any more qualifications, it seems that it only gives them boldness. Maybe that's exactly what they needed. I mean, we don't know. But is there more spiritual significance to Acts 4 than what we've been given? Than what we've given it? I'll put it that like that.
Roger, Ben. When you say Acts 4, do you mean Acts 4 and 8 and Peter?
Oh, I just quit.
Holy Spirit said to them.
No. I was talking about Acts 4. Excuse me.
31?
Yes.
31. Here's an interesting thing.
Okay.
I'm asking you a question. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness in 31. In verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and if we go back into the book of Luke, if the filled with the Spirit is a fairly common thing in the book of Luke as well. And commonly when someone, that phrase is used, someone begins to speak. I was just looking for my... in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, then she spoke. And then in Luke chapter 1, verse 67, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. I don't have right at hand every time it says someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's a very common situation. Someone was filled with the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. They spoke the word of God. They came under the control at that point of the Holy Spirit in some way.
Do you believe that's a synonym? Do you believe that's a synonym to say
like
filled with the Spirit?
Okay. He's under the control
of the Spirit. Okay.
And he's going to speak. I just want to...
No, that's a good point.
Someone else?
I just wonder with the earthquake there in verse 31, with the place being shaken. I mean, earth. I did a little reading on that. Those... A lot of times, whenever places were shaken, it was something spoken, you know, presence of God was supposed to be acknowledged. So I'm wondering what the spiritual significance of the, you know, of that record, verse Acts 4:31. But I agree with you.
Dennis?
We're off topic, I know, but that's okay.
I hate to raise my hand again. I don't want to take up too much time, but there... When they spoke the word of God, it's to be implied they could not have done that before the Holy Spirit came into them. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak the words they spoke. And for them to be verified, if necessary, by some power from God. There was enough evidence that the words they spoke were the words of God. That came after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, as you two were agreeing there, it is synonymous. What is said is synonymous. And, we talk about how everything works. And we're talking about the Spirit of God, which none of us really know what we're talking about. Other than what we read.
That which is revealed belongs to us, but those secret things do belong to God.
And I think that's good. And I think that's on the subject. Mm-hmm. All of these things have to do with that and understanding that.
One of the things that is happening in Acts 4, just for if you're a textual, your contextual study, remember these guys have just been released from prison. He quotes some passage about the Gentiles raging. He is talking about evidently a fear coming upon them. The church has just started, and they are concerned about the opposition, I believe, that they're going to be receiving. And it says immediately after this happened with the earthquake, he says they spoke the word of God with boldness. I do thematically... I think there's something going on here with fear and boldness.
Mike Criswell.
Thanks, Glenn. I don't have much to offer, but, you know, Roger brought up an interesting point, because in Acts 6, the seven are said to be full of the Spirit. Stephen, in Acts 7, is said to be full of the Spirit. So there's that phrase over and over and over. That seems to be equated with boldness, wisdom, life, you know, according to God's plan. I mean, just a whole plethora of things.
Well, if I understand Roger correctly, does being filled with the Spirit was somehow denoting a prophet's or someone, an acknowledgement that what was about to happen was from God? I mean, was it somehow that they were speaking for God and they could recognize they were speaking for God? Being filled with the Spirit, they would do this. So it's some kind of, I mean, that's what I understood, is that phrase probably suggests is somehow they knew that this was from God.
Yeah, in Acts 6, they were getting ready to serve. Mm-hmm. They weren't preaching, they were serving. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Brother, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I'm thankful that you gave me the opportunity to explain this. Brother Clint and I have discussed this, and he's the one that kind of roped me into to giving this. I shouldn't say that in that way. But I'm excited to give this, but I will tell you that as a youngster growing up in the church, I was confused, and I think a lot of people are confused. And some of these questions about if a baptismal measure of the Spirit made them apostles in Acts 2, and it only happened to 12 people and not the whole crowd, because of the antecedent and they aren't those who speaking Galileans, you know, it was only the 11 there. Then how is that totally fulfill the prophecy of Joel? And I think it went on ahead to say that this thing was going to go on until all flesh and men and women received the Spirit. But, you know, it was just confusing to me about why, if it was a measure, if you could define somebody's powers by the measure, then why wasn't the house of Cornelius apostles? And why wasn't Paul baptized in the Spirit? And I think that this answers that. This answers that confusion for me. And I hope it does for you as well. I think there's two things going on in Acts 2. And I think you have examples of it split apart with the house of Cornelius receiving, obviously, unquestionably, the baptism of the Spirit, but it didn't make them apostles. And Paul being an apostle, but he wasn't in Acts 2 or Acts 10. And so I hope that in some way helps.